This is All Things Considered at 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare. President Barack Obama tonight will announce his executive actions on immigration that has already stirred up a hornet's nest of opposition, particularly among Republicans. The question is, does the president have the power under the Constitution to do what he's doing? Polly Price is a professor of law at Emory University. She specializes in American legal history and immigration and citizenship. Professor Price, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Is the Constitution that clear when it comes to this kind of thing? I mean, the Constitution is a broad document, so the question is it spelled out anywhere what powers this president or any president has when it comes to immigration, or is it pretty murky here?
It's somewhat murky, but I think in the end it's an area in which the president does have plenty of room to work with respect to priorities for deportation. And I think it's important to note also that early presidents have used this. Other presidents have used this authority in the past, including the first president, Bush, who added work authorization for about 1.5 million illegal persons.
One of the most controversial areas is whether or not there should be a path to citizenship, and the president is not, at least as far as we know, contemplating that in this package of actions that he's taking tonight. But is there a point at which a president's authority ends and he has to go, or she has might have to go in the future, to Congress?
Clearly, there is an area for that. I think this is important to point that this is not amnesty. It's not legalization, at least what the president is expected to offer this evening. And if he were to go beyond that, I think the members of Congress who object to executive action on immigration generally would have a good point. You know, he cannot provide a path to legalization or amnesty. What this is expected to do is similar to what is known as deferred action for childhood arrivals, and it would essentially extend that. So all it would do is add more people to a group that has been given a temporary stay of removal, if you will, 2 years, and likely it will include work permits for those persons. So it's not a status, it's not a legal status, if you will, but it's simply setting the priorities for how deportations can happen. There are 2 million people who've already been deported under President Obama, and no one expects that to cease at the rate it's going at 400,000 per year, which is the capacity for the immigration authorities. So whatever he announces tonight will not extend to recent arrivals. It wouldn't extend to anyone with a criminal history. Those remain the priorities for deportation, and there are enough in the pipeline that I think there really is. We've met a capacity, and this is a way to give persons at least tell them, okay, for the next 2 years, you can plan your life. You don't have to worry about deportation because we have other priorities. And in the meantime, you can work legally if someone will hire you. We'll give you work permits.
But one of the president's arguments has been, look, I'm doing this because Congress has not acted on comprehensive immigration reform. The Senate passed an immigration reform measure, but the House did not take it up. Do opponents of the president have any ammunition here when they say, hey, look, President George W. Bush had a comprehensive immigration reform bill. It failed. And he went to his advisors and said, what can I do by executive action? And they said, look, you're probably going to exceed your authority if you do.
And I'm not as familiar with what he proposed for comprehensive reform. I don't think anything that's going to be announced tonight will be comprehensive in that sense. But it's true that some of these actions look exactly, they mirror what Congress has failed to do in the past, bills they've considered. And for example, the DREAM Act, which would have given a path to citizenship and legal status outright to children who arrived here at a young age. And it failed by only two or three votes. And I think what was unsettling about this and was that the majority in the Senate, they actually had a majority. It passed the House. They had a majority in the Senate, but they couldn't get the 60 votes. So that failed. And then within a year or two, President Obama took action, which is probably similar to what he's going to announce tonight, which is essentially a deferred prosecutorial discretion, deferred deportation. I think what's breathtaking, potentially, is the scope. How many persons will that involve?
The prosecutorial discretion idea, in a sense, he's saying, I'm acting the same way a district attorney might or a police officer might in deciding not to enforce certain things. Does a president really have that kind of similar power, or is that really a stretch to liken himself to a law enforcement officer?
The president is the head of a very, very large agency. So it includes all of the naturalization immigration functions. And what he's attempting to do here, I believe, is direct those agents so that they're all acting along the same lines with the same understanding, so that you have like persons treated alike, if you will. But I think the prosecutorial discretion is apt for what he's planning to do, and that exists at all levels of government, even outside of immigration. And the Supreme Court has made clear that decisions to initiate or terminate enforcement proceedings fall squarely within the authority of the executive. So this is, in my view, constitutional, but I think that it is also, of course, very politically volatile because of the similar pending bills or bills that would go further. The Senate compromise bill, for example, would have created a huge change in terms of paths to citizenship and so forth. So I think it's important to keep in mind that this is really fairly limited, even if there are potentially large numbers, because the next president can change this. And so really the only authority that President Obama would have, in my view, under the Constitution, is something like DACA, which is to say that he would more than likely simply say this is an exercise of prosecutorial discretion, and we are just going to prioritize the same groups we've already prioritized for deportation.
But if the Republicans want to bring some sort of legal action, or there may be some states that want to do that, what would their options be? What legal avenues do you see that they could use to challenge this?
I think the simplest one is for Congress to pass legislation. They can clearly overrule any of these actions by specifically saying so in a statute. In other words, taking away some of that prosecutorial discretion that already exists, or changing the deferred action. So that would be the most straightforward way, and that's the way our Constitution is set up, in my view. We have balanced powers, separated. Congress makes the law. The president enforces them. Congress can change the law. The president has said, if they don't act, I will. So I think the legislative approach for Congress is best. I don't think a lawsuit's really going to change anything at this point. But you raise a good point with respect to the states. States are wondering what the impact might be. And in fact, in Georgia, with a proposed bill recently, Senate Bill 6, that would deny driver's licenses to anyone who might potentially qualify under this. I think states, they too are grappling with what they might do in terms of how do we deal with immigration matters generally. And that's where it's less clear, this line between what states are permitted to do versus the federal government. And, of course, the Arizona litigation, the United States Supreme Court had said states are fairly limited.
Could a state like Georgia go to court, for instance, and say, look, because you decided not to enforce this, we have been harmed in some way, and so we have legal standing to sue you?
I think the Supreme Court, a federal court hearing that, would certainly say this is a political question. We're staying out of it. They have a doctrine known as the political question doctrine. And I think particularly when something is with immigration law so squarely within federal authority, I think the states have very few options in terms of either their own legislation or their ability to bring a lawsuit on the matter. On the other hand, it seems to me that there's very little impact on states because of this. All it does, again, if it doesn't give them a legal status, they're still not entitled to any social benefits, just as if they were anyone else who's not a citizen and who's here illegally. All it does is tell them that we won't deport you for 2 years, and here is a work permit if you can get someone to hire you. And that's a very, very limited form of relief. It's hard to see where the harm to the states comes from, because they're, as a general rule, not using and not eligible for any kind of social services or benefits at either the state or federal level.
Some of the people who are most upset by this have even gone so far as to suggest possible impeachment. From a legal point of view, that would be bringing a charge of a high crime and misdemeanor. Is that something that legally would even fly?
I don't think so. I think this is political rhetoric, and it's understandable in a highly charged debate on this matter or the kinds of issues that come up with respect to immigration. And quite frankly, this is a problem that Congress at least has tried to address now for the last two decades. And if nothing else, I think that President Obama may be thinking that this is the way to get Congress finally to pass some legislation, even if it's simply reactive to what he had done.
Congress has not acted on immigration reform, but isn't that its prerogative under the Constitution? Whether one likes it or not, isn't it up to Congress to decide, okay, we can pass laws on this or we cannot, and that is the province of Congress?
It certainly is. They can pass laws on directing what the prosecutor should look for in terms of deportations. They could tell the president, they could basically override this authority, this prosecutorial discretion, and take it away from the president. But until they do so, I think he does have room to work within, again, a very limited remedy. Now, he could not say, for example, I'm putting them on a path to citizenship. That's not within the executive powers. That's a legislative question, substantive question. So Congress gets to decide almost everything on immigration if it so chooses. And so far, there's really not been any limitation on the use of executive power with respect to how to determine who should be deported and who shouldn't be in an environment where with 11 million undocumented aliens, and you have at most the possibility, due to limited resources, to deport 400,000 a year, you have to make decisions. And the priorities of this administration and the prior administration have been, let's deport recent arrivals and let's deport those with a criminal history. And if you do those two things, you're accomplishing a lot of what is a complaint from persons about how immigration runs generally, which is you don't want persons committing crimes or with a criminal history here, and you also don't want persons who come as recent arrivals to then be able to live here for a long time. And so I think the executive order is going to be carefully couched in terms of who is eligible. You have to have lived here for a while, because otherwise that's going to be a draw for persons to come in illegally and on the hopes that they would be able to take advantage of this program.
So bottom line, from a legal point of view, again, rather than a political one, is this any different in scope from what previous presidents have done? In other words, is the president breaking new ground here in terms of pushing the limits of the separation of powers?
I think he is not breaking new ground on the legal issue, but it is new ground in terms of the potential numbers that are involved.
Polly Price is a professor of law at Emory University. Professor Price, thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.